It's one of Australia's growing problems, and just last month a new discussion on Aboriginal out-of-home care was sparked. In the Northern Territory, Indigenous families are battling against what they believe to be a second stolen generation of children. One of Australia's leading experts on Aboriginal child welfare, Muriel Bamblett, says it's an issue that deserves a lot more attention. She's currently in Sydney to receive an honorary degree from the University of Sydney. The award acknowledges her leadership in the area of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child and family welfare. Welcome to RN Breakfast, Muriel.
Yeah, it's great to be here on Gadigal land. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
Yes, from cold Victoria, where both of us are from.
Yep. I think Melbourne's actually a little bit warmer than Sydney at the moment.
I love it. We've got a bit of rivalry in there first. Now, first, congratulations on your honorary degree. What does it mean to you personally?
Well, both my parents came from missions and reserves. So my mum was raised on Cummeragunja, my dad on Lake Tyre. So at 14, because he had fair skin, he was put off the mission. So they never would have realised that their daughter would be getting any sort of honorary doctorate. But it's purely down to my parents that I, you know, am where I am today. And so they'd be very proud. But I think it's more of an achievement to child welfare. It's such a difficult field. It's very difficult to attract staff, and it's a challenging environment that you work in every day.
Not only attract, but also the biggest issue, retain staff, yeah? Just keep
That's
them
right.
in.
Yeah.
And yet you've done this for such a long period of time in your industry. What's kept you working?
I think it's the passion of, you know, that you're making a difference. And I think for Aboriginal people, we need to be able to work in the system to change the system. I think I did the Northern Territory Inquiry in 2009, and what we saw there was a system that's broken. It's, you know, and I think we described it as a tsunami of need up there. And I think that the pendulum has swung more towards more Aboriginal children being in the out-of-home care system. And I think it's a broken system in the Northern Territory.
You've worked in the area of Aboriginal childcare for decades and have been the CEO of the Victorian Aboriginal Childcare Agency since, I think it was 1999.
Yep.
During that time, though, we've seen Indigenous children increasingly overrepresented in out-of-home care. I think there's around 15,000 Indigenous
right.
children living mm-hmm. in out-of-home care, which is a staggeringly high number. It's set to triple, that's the projection, by 2030. Why are the numbers growing so rapidly?
I think we have obviously a high number of Aboriginal people that are living in poverty and neglect. When I visited the Northern Territory, 30 people living in a house, how can you protect children? How can you keep children safe? And the quicker they build houses, the quicker those houses fill up. So I think the level of poverty, the level of neglect. Most children come into care because of family violence, if you think about family violence. But a lot of the families we work with haven't had a strong family environment. Their families have been, we've got a sixth generation of being removed. So how do you break the cycle? We have a lot of families that don't know anything about their Aboriginal culture, grown up outside. And the thing that we find that keeps children safe is strong culture, strong families. We have to remember that 80% of our families are doing really well out there, and we have to learn from that. But if we have a system that's geared towards taking children, we need to be able to divert and do that. And I think that that's been the massive underinvestment, is how do we get the resources to keep children in the family home.
Muriel, you've explained it so well. This is the dilemma, isn't it? Because some of these homes that children are being removed from are not safe for children, and
That's
the
right.
children are greatly at risk. So this is where it's a vexed issue. I mean, they're being removed because it's just not right for them to be there. So how do you stem the numbers when sometimes the decisions, I imagine, I mean, I'm making a generalisation, are the right decisions to remove them from that situation?
There's no doubt that, you know, we have to make sure that children are safe, and Aboriginal services are not that, but we know that the work is not done to get children back home. I think often it's too hard for Aboriginal, and I think we've got a lot of systems where people are doing for Aboriginal people. If you look at the Tiwi Islands, when we did the inquiry, 83 services flying in a month to deliver a service. Where's the empowerment? Where's the self-determination around that? Where's Aboriginal people? And we're far behind other countries where they've implemented self-determination, where they've taken over guardianship, where they've got stronger legislation. I think Australia's still well behind and still has a very much a do-for approach for Aboriginal people.
So what are the consequences, both short-term and long-term, of removing an Indigenous child from their home? And as we say, sometimes that might be right to start with, but not working towards trying to rehabilitate that family.
I think the biggest danger we have is we don't have enough Aboriginal carers, so children are being taken away from communities and placed with non-Aboriginal carers. And look, let me say this quite clearly, we wouldn't be able to cope without the numbers of carers. They're like gold. And, you know, non-Aboriginal people caring, but these children need to have connection to land, need to know their culture, need to have their genealogy and have access to native right, because that's their birthright. And we know that culture builds resilience in children. So it's important that children still have that connection, but we have to be able to stem the flow. Otherwise, it's 20 years of the Bringing Him Home report, 54 recommendations. That report was never taken seriously. Most of those recommendations were never. I think we know, we see a lot of plans in one region alone in Victoria, 46 plans, Aboriginal in every one of those. No one holds anybody accountable for, you know, not delivering on outcomes. I think that's disappointing in Australia.
What supports are in place in the system when it comes to educating non-Indigenous families who do put their hand up, as you say, to look after some of these children, to care for Indigenous children and maintain that sense of culture?
I think that in Victoria we have what we call cultural support planning, and so we're developing a cultural portal where carers can go and access resources and know about, you know, activities like National Aboriginal Children's Day and, you know, and NAIDOC and what services are available. I think it's important to participate in training. So we do training for carers of Aboriginal children about the distinct needs, and that's not taking away from their safety needs. That's about how do they meet their cultural needs as well. So it's about our service system being able to make sure that our children grow up strong, but they also know that they, because we know 80% of children when they leave care, they go home. You don't want Aboriginal children to go home to a community where they don't know it, they can't speak the language and they don't know people and they don't feel a connection.
Thank you so much for coming into the studio, Muriel, and also congratulations on this honorary degree.
Oh, thank you very much.
That's Muriel Bamblett. She's the CEO of the Victorian Aboriginal Childcare Agency, joining us here on RM Breakfast.